Test. Hello. Again.
Testing, sir. I can hear you just fine.
Ah, perfect. I can hear you just fine. All right. Technical difficulties aside, we are here now, and it's going to be a great time. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Turkey Day. Thank goodness Elon did not rug us. Well, kind of did, but time to amplify again, I guess.
Just rugged us of 9 minutes, so it's all good. Yeah, and maybe we can invite 42 up. Excited to talk about life, reality, maybe some philosophical discussions here.
Let's get Howard in too, if you're down to talk, sir.
Ooh.
Yo, Dan, good to have you on here.
I made it. I made the
and
cut.
It's working. All right.
Alrighty, and we got the 42 account here too. Sorry about that. Yeah, who do we have on the 42 account today?
It's just there to watch, pretty much. But we got Timmy on it, specifically.
Oh, very cool. Are we having Maritz or Alessio join us?
Theoretically, I'm just
Alessio.
Alessio
said he will be joining. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I nuked it, guys.
You're cool, Howard. Don't worry.
Yeah, it's honestly far too easy to end a Twitter Spaces. The button is right there. Like you can't just rejoin. You have to like kill the app and then you can rejoin. So
yeah, the worst is when you get like a notification on your phone and then it changes accounts from your like from the host account onto your personal account, and it just ends it.
Oh yeah, because you switch accounts in the app,
yeah,
and it just decides that you're no longer there. Gross.
Yeah.
Gross.
So no looking at your phone during the Twitter space is the rule.
Sounds like we have a rule breaker in here.
Indeed we do. We have another 42.
Whoa.
Who's joined?
Who is this other 42?
Mysterious 42.
Human AI.
Hello, Mr. 42, or Mrs. 42. It's a lord, so I'm assuming it's a mister. I like the Dunning-Kruger effect in 42's,
their banner?
In their banner, yeah. It's a very interesting concept.
And I like the Times New Roman font as well. 42, what kind of font is, what is your font? Are you going to be releasing it?
No. Kidding. Do you know what the Dunning-Kruger effect is, Adair?
Is it when you feel like you know something? Like, go ahead and explain it.
It's pretty much like those who think they know a lot, or like the more you think you know, maybe the less you actually know. And it's like those who think that they don't know anything actually know more than those who think they know everything. Because the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. And it also like affects like confidence. So like those who don't know a lot are more confident because they think they know everything. And people actually end up trusting those people more because they're confident than people who know a lot and know how much they don't know and are less confident.
Wait, that absolutely makes sense. So this must be related to the fact that like the more intelligent you are, the more likely you are to be incredibly depressed.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're us and you're intelligent and happy. I'm kidding.
Intelligent
fantastic
and happy.
Fantastic way the human brain works.
I mean, the human brain.
All right, well, this is pretty
beautiful things, but it does pit us against each other and pit us against ourselves.
Okay. I think we've got pretty much all the speakers in at this point, right? Got no one else joining us?
From this is pretty much the same as our weekly stand-up, the 42 Abstract Weekly meeting.
That is fair. We might as well just start doing our stand-ups on a Twitter space.
Yeah, what have you guys pushed this week?
Well, we're going to get straight into it.
Howard, actually, are you still in the spaces? What have we pushed this week? We're working on the front-end SDK, so it will be easier than ever to create a full-stack CosmWasm application. We're abstracting away all of the things from the users. We're allowing for custom signers that will allow you to use your accounts with multi-sigs or with DAO or with any wrapper that you want directly in your front-end with barely any config required. We're adding some new code gen that allows you to automatically generate the TypeScript code for all of the dependencies of your applications, which means that you no longer have to wrangle a bunch of CosmWasm, as we all know, is quite a pain. And how about on the smart contract side, Howard?
We're moving to migrations on the smart contract side. So we have a cool feature that one of our engineers, Nicholas, built out, which we're calling clone testing, or clone mock. And it basically allows you to perform migrations without performing them on chain, but with the same state as the contracts that are on chain. And that allows us to perform the migration and then test whether the functionality is all working before we actually perform the migration itself. So that's that.
That's very helpful. Yep.
What does that mean to a layman, Howard?
It means that it's more secure to do upgrades because you can actually test the upgrade before you do the upgrade.
Nice.
And this is testing against live data, which a lot of our tests generally use mock data or like simulated environments that, you know, we've made ourselves. So you can break things in reality, or you can break real users' funds without actually breaking real users' funds.
That's cool.
How about you?
How do we use this? Is this in your next, is this pushed?
This is going to be in our next release. Yeah. So actually, the 42 vaults that are currently deployed, they can stay deployed and we're just going to upgrade the infrastructure that's around them. So.
Nice. And it's all working already.
No. Like we're working with the tooling. The tooling has to improve a little bit more. But I'm quite confident that we can get it working next week.
Amazing.
Nice.
Yeah, we'll toss the question right back at you guys. What have you shipped this week? What are you excited about?
Well, we have been tackling a few different features. One of those, it's basically liquid staking, but in just one transaction. So basically, the users are going to be able to, like, whatever token is sitting on any chain, Cosmos, be swapped, and you are going to decide on which token you want to liquid stake. So, for example, you have Osmo sitting on Juno, let's say, and you want ST Atom in the end. Well, you can just select this Osmo token that is sitting on Juno, be swapped for Atom, and be bridged into the Stride chain and stake, so you can get the ST Atom in just one transaction. So that's one of the things that we have been working on this week. Also some very cool designs regarding our portfolio tracker, which we are very excited to share with you guys. That's what we have been working on.
So we're one step closer to allowing you to do anything across chains. And anything is infinity, but at least we're one step closer to infinity.
So yeah, I'm curious, what is this what does the anything entail? Like what can I do, or like what's enticing to me as a new user.
Well, this anything is in the long run. That's the long run anything. Would you like to hear about that or what we can do right now? Okay, I'll just start. Essentially, right now, we obviously are deployed with our smart contracts on Abstract, which, by the way, for all three other people listening, Abstract are amazing to work with. And for the rest of the general public that may tune into this recording. So we've deployed a smart contract with Abstract, and that's sitting on currently three main nets and two test nets. So Osmosis, Juno, Juno, Neutron, and Terra. And then Osmosis, we just got approved for a main net launch, and Kujira, we're on their test net. And then we've got Stride. So essentially, our users can come to us in its current form and can access yields or returns on the assets across liquidity pools with auto compounding on those chains. They can liquid stake with Stride and then deposit that into a DEX, so generating the sort of the double rewards, or they can stake to any validator with auto compounding. So really, like the long-term vision or the anything is to be this sort of interchain asset management aggregator essentially we find asset management strategies for users across chains.
Okay, Dan, I've got a couple questions then in terms of, like, because you kind of just covered a little bit about what 42 does. In terms of why you guys kind of came up with the idea, what was the inspiration behind it, and where are you guys trying to go with it? Like, what's the final vision? What's the final mission? Again, this is for anyone who might not be aware of it or might be listening in at a later point in time and isn't aware of 42.
Yeah, so I think pretty much I touched on like the final mission, which I can just reiterate on. But really, we started off by building on Evmos, and obviously Evmos hit some roadblocks along the way. And we took a step back and sort of said, well, why are we building on only one chain when the whole point of Cosmos is to be interchain? So I think not only that, but if like history repeats itself, I think there's going to be this foundational layer of infrastructure. And we need apps operating across that infrastructure level. So that's where we sort of came up with the idea of building this interchain app. And also from like a historical perspective, aggregators essentially aggregators or platforms have always made sense and made like logical sense. I think a lot of stuff in crypto potentially doesn't make logical sense. I mean, and that's not a bad thing necessarily because people are trying a lot of new ideas, but I sort of went with the approach of what can we do that actually makes sense now. And I think if we want to see mass adoption in crypto, these sort of platforms or aggregators need to make things easy for users. And combine that with the fact that if we look at like the traditional finance asset management industry, it's about $100 trillion industry. And right now, a very, very small percentage of that has moved on chain. But we are of the opinion that a larger and larger percentage of that will start moving on chain. So sort of like makes logical sense plus huge potential market. So that's sort of the inspiration for the idea. And I'd say the long run plan or the long run vision is to a large degree allow for AI to, I mean, I think at some point AI will start allocating funds across different strategies, and 42 wants to definitely help enable that.
Dope. Yeah,
it's a really exciting goal.
That makes a ton of sense. You also mentioned earlier that you've been building on Abstract. Abstract builds itself as being able to streamline your interchain app development. Now, you guys are an actual real-world use case of that, who's actually physically building on there. Between yourself and Adair, and Alicia, please chime in here as well, if you can. What does that experience feel like? What does it look like? What does it mean to be building on Abstract?
Yeah, Alicia, I think you can answer this
one. Sure. So first of all, like, it's very easy to scale with Abstract. Given that their module, your guys' modules architecture, like for us, made a ton of sense. since we wanted to connect to different like DEXs, like Astroport, also Windex and Juno back in the day. And the next like different DEXs that we want to integrate with to like have these different modules like the DEX, yeah, the DEX APR, the DEX API or the CW staking API. So made a ton of sense, right? But not just that, I think that also like on the partnership that we have done has been very fruitful for us since you guys like brought a lot of your experience into our product and help us build it. So that's like really good to see. And there's a lot of synergy between both teams. So it's like at this point, I see you guys more like family, you know? So it's not just that you have a kick-ass product, but also like you're great partners. So it has been a blast.
Much appreciated, sir. Adair, you know, given what 42 is kind of doing, what can we hopefully offer them that they can maybe integrate in that's coming down the pipe, maybe some alpha that you might be able to leak to everyone listening as well as to the team themselves? I'm throwing you on the spot.
Yeah, absolutely.
There. I apologize.
So we've really enjoyed working with 42. Oh, you're good. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, sir.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we've really enjoyed working with 42 these past few months. And what I love about 42 is that they're trying to bring everything together and to unify it and to take all of this disjunct IBC connected mess, like this disjunct internet of blockchains, and actually like bringing them together into one place where users can feel that they have a home, like a home for their liquidity and a home for their own DeFi user experience. And with this, like I'm really talking about like that personalized DeFi touch. Because you know, when we're building all of these liquidity protocols, a lot of users and or supposed users that we have, I feel like they're kind of left out. Because the only users that we see in the ecosystem are traders. They're just traders that have some strategies in mind. They look at the charts, they check the tokens, and they make decisions based on that. And those are all the users that we have in DeFi. But I want to see what 42 is trying to bring to reality, which is like a more personalized experience where like the layman can go experience the wild yields of the IBC connected ecosystem and have one place where they can go do it. And so right now, you know, they've built a yield aggregator. They've built these like auto compounders where you can compound your assets and make yield on that. And what I would like to see 42 offer in the future are some more personalized products like portfolios. Like if I'm, you know, I'm a relatively bad DeFi trader, but say I was great. Say that I could create a portfolio, or I was a Twitter influencer and I wanted to create a portfolio of assets. I'd be able to offer that for my users and they'd be able to go invest in this portfolio and have it still be a fully open, a fully open basket of assets that anyone could audit at any time. And I think this brings a lot more culture and community into the DeFi aspects of the ecosystem, at least. Because it really is about the connection between the direct connection between the creator being that portfolio curator and the users being those that they like these curators or they feel like they do a good job. To sum that up, more personalized DeFi offered by 42 would be my dream. And I'm excited to see that happen.
Yes, Daniel, I guess that kind of kicks it to you a little bit in terms of being able to, because I know you guys on your website, it says that you guys are the front end for the Interchain DeFi, right? In terms of having that kind of component of being able to kind of level up what we've seen in past cycles of like just basic like, you know, LP farming, DeFi farming that we've all kind of grown to love and occasionally hate depending on when tokens are going down. How do you kind of intend to ideally kind of bridge that gap and elevate things to the next level?
Yeah, so I think like for now, I think like the one thing and one of like our core principles is really give users what they want and like listen to the users. So right now in its current state, I think we more or less know what DeFi users want, which is, and that's because crypto obviously hasn't hit mainstream adoption yet, which right now is just like yields across chains. I mean, that's at least what we're building towards right now. But I think in the future, as we see more sort of the normie users coming on chain, we're going to have to listen to users at that point and sort of see what they want. But like, I think as much as I don't necessarily like to say it, I think like a lot of it is going to be very similar to like sort of TradFi financial instruments, at least initially. I think that's going to kind of be the next sort of a next wave of crypto adopters before we start seeing all sorts of new things. Like, who knows, potentially there are all sorts of gaming chains, for example, with all sorts of finance functionality within the games. And if that's what users are demanding at the time and it actually makes sense for us to move in that direction, then we'll go towards that. Right now, we're just like, we almost want to focus on users in their current state make 100 users extremely happy right now and then go from there.
Always a good idea to start small and then kind of scale up from there, which is, I think, something that it's an ethos that I think more of us could adopt within this industry, I think. I kind of want to get your take on you guys are building this whole thing out for the Interchain, and you know, there's a lot of communication and talk right now about, and this isn't a new thing by any means, but there is a lot of tribalism that kind of happens within crypto that we're all more or less familiar with. Everyone's a maxi of something. In terms of being able to kind of take your vision of going interchain and being very much agnostic to all of that maximalism, how do you guys kind of see that narrative playing out as time goes on? Because in my opinion, I think the whole, when you guys talk about normies, I don't think normies are necessarily going to be maxis, and where capital flows go within that cohort of people that come into crypto as they kind of stream in, I think products like 42 are going to definitely be a cut above. So where does that kind of play in for you guys?
So the question is like, how do we sort of navigate the tribalism that currently exists in crypto in order to bring it to mainstream?
Yeah, a little bit of that, and as well as like, what in your eyes, like the Interchain, it's not necessarily maybe just the things that we're all familiar with, but where do you guys kind of see that going in terms of the philosophy of the Interchain and yeah, navigating the whole normie capital flows?
I guess my one line in that sense is that users should not and will not care about what chain are using in the future, right? I think that at least that's how I see it, and we should build towards that goal. It doesn't matter on which chain your assets are sitting on, or what like kind of operations are you doing. It needs to be like the best UX as possible in that sense, right?
Yes, I totally agree with that. And I think if we also look at like why I guess there is tribalism now, I guess it can be compared to like communities in the physical world, and like there's different countries, and there were different countries that couldn't communicate with each other, and then they'd go to war with each other all of a sudden based on essentially fighting over resources, which is exactly why the tribalism I think exists in crypto now. It's like we don't have this infrastructure layer that's all interconnected yet, so everyone's almost fighting for resources within their own ecosystems. But I think over time that will migrate away as chains become more connected.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that some advantage that the EVM ecosystem has over Cosmos or even like the Solana ecosystem is they're all building towards that same protocol. They're building on a shared layer of value that all of their applications drive new value down towards. And so like in the Cosmos, it's incredibly decentralized, which is very powerful, but we don't have something that we're all driving value to. And I think that, you know, what that thing is going to be in the future is the value of IBC and the value of interoperability and being connected to higher value chains via IBC.
Yes, I totally agree with that. And I think just like another level on that is you look at Ethereum and all the L2s now, they are at some point also going to have these sort of issues of fighting for resources. Like, do we need 100 L2s on Ethereum? I don't know. Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe not.
We need thousands of L2s. We need thousands and we need millions of app chains. We're just fighting over the wrong things. We're fighting over these, like, you know, 10 users we have in EVM, like moving around billions of dollars, when we really should be fighting for stealing value from the Web2 companies and stealing, like, all of this siloed infrastructure that they've been holding us captive with.
Mm. Yes, I agree. Yeah, I think definitely in the long run, hopefully we have thousands of L2s, all with significant liquidity or users at least performing transactions in them. But I think in the short run, these L2s, if we have 100 L2s or 1,000 L2s launch in the next year with no users, I think there's going to be a lot of infighting or outfighting, I should say, across L2s, at least in the short term, because resources are scarce, essentially.
100%. Like, kind of what I'm hearing here is a common theme that the resource that we're all fighting over is really users and the liquidity that they provide. I think they're, you know, what Adair was just talking about with like fighting over 10 dudes who have a couple billion dollars and are shucking it around in order to try to, you know, monopolize whatever farms they can or eat up as many of the rewards as possible, whatever kind of capital extraction that those guys are trying to do. They're a net extractive force, but having a large number of users, even if they all come in with like 10 to 100 bucks, it's probably a net benefit overall, rather than those short-term gains of having a couple of mercenary capital dudes running around and pillaging your treasury. So in terms of getting those users and bringing those people in, user onboarding, I think that a lot of the times we're kind of thinking about like bringing in users and getting them to use the platform. But I think awareness and making them understand why they need to be here, why they need to be a part of this industry, even tangentially. They don't need to be fully into crypto all the time, but they need to have, you know, at least one foot in the water. They need to have dipped their toes in. What's the game plan for you guys in terms of getting those no coiners into 42?
We sit and wait. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. I guess that's the question of when does a crypto adoption actually happen? I don't know. Obviously, the one hypothetical scenario of when mainstream crypto adoption happens is theoretically when the financial system crashes. Is crypto going to be like a saving grace? Will people, you go to a grocery store and they're going to laugh at your US dollars and say, can you give us some Bitcoin instead? But assuming that that doesn't happen, it's really hard to say how we get normies on. I think apparently last year, 100 million people lost money in crypto through hacks and through obviously price fluctuations or depreciations. How do we find that, like those early 100 million users again? And I think a lot of them potentially will come from like more of the younger generation that weren't necessarily wiped out last year, that will hopefully be coming into money, as well as potentially like developing countries. Like, I know Elysio is based in Argentina, and like Argentina has a huge crypto adoption, and so does Turkey, etc. So I think that's where like that 100 million users will come from. How does 42 actually get access to those users? I really think just through like going through the typical processes of like marketing and trying to build cool stuff and target those user bases where the next 100 million users will come from. I don't know if you have anything to elaborate on that.
Yeah, I think we are also like not considering that point, like with the advancement of machine learning and how would that impact the crypto ecosystem, right? we don't know how like it's gonna be in the future, like communication machine to machine, like in terms of crypto payments. So besides like the regular users, we can have like another segment, right? Like automated portfolio management of these different institutions that may be jumping on 42, you know. So I think one critical point that you mentioned, Dan, it's building with the user being very close on our product development cycle, right? I'm actually solving problems that the users have and solving the right problems. That's going to be like the inflection point for us.
Yeah, you know, I kind of want to dig into that a little bit because, you know, when we're talking about individual users and finance, every individual is quite unique in what they're trying to do. Like if we were to talk about those 10 whales that are shucking around millions or billions of dollars, you know, they've probably got different goals than maybe one of the younger guys that you're talking about, Dan, who might be saving for their first car or their first house, or maybe, you know, they come from less fortunate circumstances and they're just trying to save enough to go out on a couple of dates and maybe, you know, move out from their parents' basement, or maybe it's for school. But like everybody's got these individualized type of goals. And I think this kind of ties a little bit into, what Adair was talking about earlier in terms of the social aspects of DeFi and for users in general, in terms of being able to, say, save for a specific target or a specific goal, you know, the front end for DeFi, 42, if we're looking at the product in general, how do we kind of think about looking at those individual users as you guys are building, rather than like a broad swathe of like, hey, you know, these are all of the farms that are available and this is just what your options are. Like how does a newcomer show up and kind of differentiate between like maybe what's a good buy and what's a slightly more risky buy, so that we can kind of hopefully lower that $100 million people who've lost money. We can lower that number down a little bit.
I lost you for a little, but just to understand your question again, How do we find like actual safe returns for crypto users? Was that more or less the question?
Kind of, yeah. Like I'm thinking more about like every individual has their own specific goals and targets that they're saving for, whether that's saving up for tuition, their first house, or maybe they're shucking around millions and billions of dollars and trying to have safe harbor while being a little bit further out on the risk curve with a smaller amount of their money. So basically, there's going to be some people who are looking to hyper gamble their way up to some level of wealth, and there's going to be another cohort of people who are looking for that safe harbor. How do you kind of navigate that with 42, especially for a newcomer in crypto?
Yeah, so I think firstly, like if we start off with what sort of returns users will be getting, I mean, we obviously want to offer the full spectrum of that, from risky degen type strategies to more safe, like real world asset type strategies. And then I guess so we want to offer the spectrum. And then I guess the next question comes in is, how do we actually determine which user wants what? And that to a large degree will come in through, hopefully or theoretically, through AI being able to determine what users, what their risk profile is through users submitting a variety of data on chain. And we will hopefully be able to actually specify what users want. I think that definitely is a couple years off. However, I do see the future going in that direction. And 42 is obviously building one of our principles also is like 7-year thinking. So we're building with that in mind, like where is the future going and how do we aim towards it?
Hey there. Sure, yeah. Thanks for letting me up there. Just wanted to jump up on this topic of like what do you think is going to help adoption, and I think there's like a trend that we're starting to see is where applications don't necessarily push forward the tech they're building on, and I think that's what's going to drive adoption in the future, is where we focus more on the application and what it actually does. and what features, kind of like privacy and stuff like that, things that really help and are important to the user, is what's going to bring new users, not necessarily the tech. Because when you talk to someone who's new to it, they're confused. They don't understand, like, yeah, why does it need to be crypto? Why does it need to be decentralized? And I think a large part of what needs to be done is like a re-education, and also marketing from projects to be more focused towards like actual functions and use cases instead of the technology and techniques that are used. Because at a certain point, you could say we're all the same if we're all using the same buzzwords.
I totally agree with that. Thanks for that.
Yeah, definitely. And that's something I was going to ask, like, 42 is that, you know, something about getting those 100 million users, most users don't really want to do anything. They just want to put their money somewhere and have it grow. Is that a product that you're looking to offer in the future? Is just like automated yield? Like, say I have like 1,000 USDC or something. Like, what can I do with that as a user on your platform? And I agree with you on, you know, Mr. Coin landing page, all about removing the tech from the users. Because I think 42 has done a really good job with this for the most part. Is like, it's just simple yield. And I'd like to see that simple yield translated to the normal user as well. Like, Anchor received a lot of adoption, not only because it was a 20% yield, but also just because it was easy. It was nice. Like, you just go to Anchor, you deposit your UST, and you're earning yield. And it just, yeah.
And that's what we want to do with 42, like basically aggregating different sources of yields and making it very simple for the user to earn that yield, right? Like today we have these auto-compounded vaults, we have liquid staking. We also want to integrate like the lending protocols and interchange strategies. So all these different sources of yields that like the user could pick and choose, like whatever they it's more aligned to their like actual need or interest, right? But all the time having in like the user experience to be being our focus, right? Like one click transactions, just very simple. You deposit your liquidity and you start earning yield, simple and easy, right? And I think that like what other products we integrate in the future, we'd be pretty much dictated by the TBL, right? If the market starts deploying liquidity into some new innovative product that earns you yield, and it makes sense to us, then we will add it, right? Because there's an actual market need, and our job is allowing the user to access to that yield opportunity in a very simple way. That's the focus of 42.
Yeah, I think simplicity and reducing friction is absolutely an important thing to have. But I think kind of tying in my previous question, kind of what Dan was talking about earlier with bringing in some of the TradFi instruments and things like that, and also what Mr. Coin landing page was talking about as well, in terms of, you know, people don't necessarily care about how the tech works. They really care about what it does, and we need to be able to market things to them in order to have them really understand it. Part of what made Anchor so attractive was the pitch was quite simple. It's a higher yield savings account. Now, I'm not saying we do any of the Ponzinomics or have like any of the craziness that comes with algo stablecoins, but I think inherently, when we talk about farming in DeFi, it's significantly more out on the risk curve. No matter which pair you're farming, you're still extending that risk a little bit more. Whereas having just a straight $1,000 USDC, and then even if your yield on that savings account is roughly the same as what you have in TradFi, it's something that's familiar, right? Like I'll open up my TradFi bank account and I've got a checking and a savings. My savings account is just there collecting some kind of interest rate. And my checking account is just what I get to spend for everyday stuff. Within 42, I kind of see you guys in that TradFi bucket be more in the savings side of things, as well as being a little bit further on the risk curve and maybe being some more riskier investments. And those riskier investments can be on low risk, high risk, and everything in between. But in terms of offerings like that, to be able to kind of get those normie guys in the door, do we have anything like that on the horizon or already built?
Once again, I think it comes down to users and what users want. So right now we're building for DeFi users who I think are a little bit higher on the risk curve and do, to some degree at least, care about what tech we're building with. But definitely it's going through my thoughts of who do we start partnering with to bring out sort of the more traditional type of investment mechanisms. One of the good players that we're speaking with is Centrifuge, who essentially offer real world assets on chain. So that's like a little thing we're looking at the moment.
So that's the whole RWA narrative, real world assets, right? Tell me more about that. Tell me where the focus is on that, because I think that's a pretty hot button topic that I'd like to dive into a little bit more.
Yeah, so it is very early days right now. Obviously, we're super focused on just getting our initial product out, which is hopefully going to come out in like the next week or two. So it is early days, and I don't want to speak out of turn before we've like actually thought too deeply about it. But yeah, definitely more updates on that coming soon.
Dope. Sounds good. Excited for it. And next week or two, huh? Okay, cool. So quick product plug for you guys. How can people get involved? Where can they go to in order to try to experience it? And how can they get involved with having auto compounders on the front end for the Interchain DeFi?
So right now we do have a very basic MVP that's being tested out by some users, and if any users want to jump on board with that, our whitelist form is on our app website, on our app landing page. We welcome testers to come on and hear their opinions on that type of stuff. I know, Sai, you have really, really good questions, but at some point, I'd also like to hear the future of Abstract, if that's on your agenda.
Beautiful question. Adair, take it away.
Absolutely. So the future of Abstract. So in these past 2 years or so, since Abstract was, I guess, the very, very beginnings of Abstract, we've been building developer tooling. We've been making things so that you, if you've got an idea, you could bring that idea to reality as quickly and efficiently as possible, and you could collaborate with other people to do that. And that's how we ended up building a framework that standardized a modules, which you put together to build applications like 42's vaults. And so this has put us in a very interesting position, because like Abstract is completely chain agnostic. And so this framework allows you to build applications. And now, you know, in these past few months, we've been focusing really hard on allowing you to build interchain applications. And so Abstract has been working really hard on something called Interchain Abstract Apps, or Interchain Abstract Accounts, built on top of Polytone from DAODAO. And this will allow app developers to create interchain strategies. It'll allow 42 to create vault strategies where you could lever assets by swapping them on Osmosis and, you know, lending them on Kujira, and then swapping again, lending and looping. This is a strategy that would be possible using the new architecture of the interchain stack. And so in the next few months, we should see a lot more interchain, truly interchain applications, where users can go in, get a strategy, and not even know that it's working behind the scenes across multiple chains. Beyond that, we are building out our application platform. So this will allow users to manage their own personal applications that are built within the Abstract ecosystem and the Abstract framework. And by the way, what I mean by abstract ecosystem is all of Cosmwasm. So Abstract is deployed on almost every single Cosmwasm chain. We are expanding to Avalanche and to Polkadot when the time comes. And I would expect sometime in the future that other ecosystems may get involved as well. So to sum it all up, interchain applications in the next few months, and an interchain application platform following that, and better opportunities for users, and a more fun interchain experience. So yeah, I think that's the future of Abstract. Does that answer your question, Daniel?
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think it also just leads me into something that, like, a lot of people are asking, are we, like, why did we choose Cosmos to build? And do we regret that decision, obviously, as Cosmos is sort of still finding its feet? But one of the answers that I always give is just around how good Cosmos infrastructure providers are at navigating the interchain, which I think a lot of other ecosystems haven't even started to conceptualize, or I mean, at least just started to conceptualize. Whereas building with guys like you and Skip, for example, you guys actually understand the interchain worlds better than anyone. So yeah, big ups to that. And I'm excited.
Yeah. And the question to building in Cosmos, something that has also come to my mind is, what does it mean to be Cosmos? I think the lines are starting to blur, like the more chains start being connected to IBC. Like, you know, once Union and Polymer and Toki bring their IBC to Ethereum, does that mean Ethereum is also Cosmos? Or do you still bridge into the Cosmos? Is Cosmos just Cosmos SDK-based chains? And if so, do the rollups count? It's kind of funny. Like, building in Cosmos is just saying, like, living in space, I guess. I mean, technically, yeah, we're living on Earth, which is also in space. And I think Cosmos is everywhere. So the answer to that question should really be, no, we're not building in Cosmos. We're building on IBC. And IBC goes everywhere.
I personally have always been of the mind that IBC is what defines Cosmos. If you can connect to IBC, you are part of the Cosmos. Obviously, personal takes, but this discussion's come up a lot before in various spaces, actually.
So everything will be Cosmos.
Everything will be Cosmos.
I love that eat the world mentality. Let's get it.
The answer is 42, by the way.
The answer is 100% 42. In terms of the EVM question, that's actually something that I want to pick at. But Adair, I'm gonna keep this with you for a minute. 42's been building on Abstract, kind of, right? And they've been using some of the modules. In terms of other things that other people might be able to build, what kind of modules does Abstract offer right now and in the near future, where you can maybe kind of kick around some, just kind of throw some darts at a dartboard here and give some product ideas that people might be able to build by leveraging Abstract modules?
Yeah, totally. That's a great question. And I'll probably focus this around DeFi, since that's what 42 has been building. It's also a lot of what the applications that are offered in the space. A lot of the more advanced capabilities are offered by DeFi. So 42's auto compounders, they're built on two modules. So one is the DEX adapter, and this allows for interfacing with any DEX across the Cosmos, or shortly across other ecosystems, such as, you know, the EVM ecosystem. There's also the staking module, which allows you to take LP tokens and stake them on any arbitrary DEX or platform, like Spec Protocol, for example. And shortly, we will be releasing an order book module that allows for interfacing with order books such as Kujira or Injective. And like, as a developer, you don't know that you're necessarily interfacing with a different DEX or a different protocol. You're just creating a message and you're sending it there. And that's why 42 can scale everywhere in Cosmos. But beyond that, we're hoping to bring some oracles and lemming market modules as well. And this really opens up the design space and comes back to something we mentioned earlier, which is like interchain vault strategies. These would be strategies where you would deposit assets, they would move all across the interchain, accrue yield, and then, but you as a user will always have them at your fingertips. And this is entirely possible. It allows the users to capitalize on these amazing arbitrage opportunities offered across all of the different exchanges in the Cosmos ecosystem. Beyond that, like, I'd really like to see, some more personalized applications. For example, like balanced portfolios would be really cool to see built, where you define weights of certain assets, and you have, like, let's say it's 50% Osmo, 50% or 50% Osmo, 30% Juno, and 20% Neutron. Just defining that portfolio, allowing other users to invest in that. I think that would be really nice. Sal, do you have any fun protocols in mind?
No, for me, I'm all about that 100x leverage, and order books are great, and so are money markets in order to be able to establish that. So I'm looking for the fastest ways to be able to either hyper gamble my way to generational wealth or lose it all in one fell swoop. But like, again, memes aside, I think the one thing that I would love to be able to see is, like the walled garden approach within crypto, that probably crawls under my skin a lot. But especially with everything being open and public, one thing that I would love to be able to have is have some of the social components be moved onto the protocol side and be able to allow users to be able to, again, kind of share, shill, maybe have some leaderboarding to be able to actually put, literally people's money where their mouth is, instead of just having a bunch of influenzas on Twitter, be able to shill how much money they made and then, inspect Element and get things changed up like that. So I think something that I would love to see is, again, like that balancer idea is a great idea. Balanced portfolios are excellent. I would love to be able to experiment with a bunch of different auto-compounded yields, maybe from 42, a couple of other single-sided pieces, and kind of put together my own type of mutual fund, and then maybe be able to share that link out to a couple of my friends that are no coiners right now, and be like, hey, bro, just like take like $100, toss it into here, and see where it goes. We're kind of riding this ship together, instead of needing to maybe meet them at a bar or go over to their house or call them over and then give them like a 3-hour tutorial on how their wallet needs to work and do all of that other nonsense. That's something that I would really love to be able to do. I'd love to be able to share it, have them do a couple of clicks, remove all of that friction, and just get earning right away or get spending right away,
Yeah, absolutely. So like a more application experience that can be shared with normies, and something that doesn't have all of the terrible UX of wallets and all of that. Oh, here's another question for you guys, 42. So you mentioned removing the technology from the users, removing all of that friction. What are you doing about the wallet problem? Like, are you going to offer like easy ways for your users to interact with their yield without needing to sign transactions, or like what are your thoughts in that front?
I think a capital abstraction is something that we can consider like down the line. So being able to just sign messages across the application and to simplify the experience would be really good to see. Currently, a user needs to sign a transaction for every interaction, right? But yeah, that's like, again, we are all in for making the life of the user more simple. So yeah, that's definitely something we're looking for doing in the midterm, I guess.
We just make everything simple all the time.
Yeah, you know what's crazy? Like the wallet question, it makes me laugh because you know, people got really enamored by Privy.io after Frentech kind of integrated that. And they were like, wow, this is so easy. But other solutions like Web3 Auth have existed for a long time to be able to kind of remove a lot of that friction. And there's so much that in the cosmos we've done technologically that can remove a lot of friction, yet nobody's really leveraged a lot of these things. I get it. There's some OPEX and some other issues that kind of surround that. But I think a big part of what might be able to put us a cut ahead and really kind of eliminate that whole question of like users and user stickiness and onboarding and all of that stuff is just being able to kind of relate to that non-technical, to that normie side a little bit better. And again, like you guys are talking about, just kind of simplifying a lot of that and bringing it more to the forefront, more accessible, so that people are less looking at market cycles and trying to time the Pico top or getting absolutely rinsed when they miss it. And more so just being like, hey, you know what, I'm in this and this is just what it is. I'm using this thing. I'm going to, you know, there might be a chance that I make some money. There might be a chance that I lose some money, and that's okay. But, you know, this is something that I can understand. It's easily accessible, and it's not just me alone in this. I've also got other people kind of playing around with it, and it's easy for me to get my coworkers or my friends to get involved in it too. I think that's a big sticking point in the whole experience of this industry at large, where there is so many problems around wallets. There's so many problems around like, hey, these 24 words, you can't save it inside of your Google Drive, because if that goes, all your money goes. Also, don't write it down on a piece of paper. Also, try to memorize it. Also, like, it's crazy. And it's completely unreasonable to think that that's the way that people need to be going about doing things. So I think that that's probably one of the major issues that we should be looking at and trying to tackle on a day-to-day basis, just being able to relate more to the normie side and understanding that crypto rails are very, very important for self-custody and to be able to have sovereignty with your property and with your value that you've earned and put your blood, sweat, and tears into, and being able to maximize that capital gain as much as possible with new and innovative ideas, right? But yeah, like no real question attached to it. I just kind of spitballing there and throwing that out there.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, I think it's super important. Alicia, I do want to ask you a question though. You know, Dan was talking about how you're from Argentina and there's a pretty large crypto cohort there. What was the process for your countrymen to be able to kind of onboard into the ecosystem? What can we all learn as builders about what it is that we can do better in order to get the people that need crypto and what we can do to put crypto in the hands of those people before we start thinking about the people that just want crypto as like a hyper gambling tool?
I wouldn't say there was a process. There was just a need, right? So when you have your currency that is constantly depreciating, you're looking for, and your government doesn't allow you to buy like hard money, like we can think of the USD, right? So like in this last presidential cycle, like we as Argentinians, we cannot buy more than $200 a month legally, you know? So that's insane. What do you do with the rest of your Argentinian pesos, right? So you start looking for ways. And well, since crypto is decentralized and you can access it like everywhere, it just made sense for the people in Argentina to start like looking for USDT, USDC. And it's crazy how you see that adoption. Like, not people here are not just like buying that USDT or buying like different crypto assets, but they are also using it. Like, there are a ton of commerces here that accept crypto, right? So the adoption is real. And the only reason to that is that it is a real need. So it's crazy when you think about it and you go to some, I don't know, European country and you start speaking about crypto, a lot of people would not be interested or would not even know what are you talking about. Here are like people in their 60s, even 70s, are exposed to crypto. right? Because like, I don't know, like an ease or something like mentioned how they can store their value with crypto and blah, 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 right? So I would say there has been like an onboarding process. It's just like there was a need. And things like just work that way, you know? At least that's how I've been exposed to crypto in the first place back in 2015. Started to looking for ways like to basically do something with my pesos, right? And then we have like this, started to see this thing about Bitcoin where it was decentralized. It wasn't able to be restricted by the government, blah, blah, blah. So it just made sense to invest in it, right? That's my answer, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's actually super interesting because it kind of gives me hope that we can avoid like a Mad Max situation in the event that, you know, the grocery store does laugh at you if you try to bring in US dollars or some equivalency mm-hmm. to that. But the other side of it is I feel like within Argentina, it feels less like an investment for you guys and it feels more like a way of life. It's a necessity, right?
Yes, yes. But like... if you think about it, like, and how the world is transitioning, like, to like this Orwellian approach, right, with CBDCs and all that, crypto is inevitable, right? Like, more people are gonna jump into the crypto train because it just makes sense. Governments are gonna push these people into crypto. At least that's how I see it.
Yeah, you know, like it's actually super, super interesting. And I've thought about this a lot in regards to CBDCs. They've been on my mind quite a lot, because I think the majority of countries in the world are either exploring and trying to do research and trying to build it, or they've already greenlit it and approved it, or they're in the process of doing that. And probably within the decade, we see a lot more people roll them out. So yeah, I would agree with that 100%. Crypto is absolutely inevitable. And we don't have to really get into the whole regulatory landscape of like, you know, what happens if it's restricted or like, what if it's only CBDCs? I don't think that that's necessarily the biggest point of concern or something that's controllable by builders or the people that are working in the industry. I think the thing that we can do best is kind of what 42 is doing by giving you an avenue to be able to leverage your crypto exposure to maximize your value. And in terms of that, like in terms of the on-chain component, Alessio, do people tend to use crypto like in terms of, you know, DeFi yields and farms and are they looking at things like that? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Like you cannot even imagine how many people used Terra and Anchor back in the day. Like, I don't know. It was crazy. It was crazy. Argentinian people are very exposed to DeFi. Like a lot of people like got involved with PancakeSwap back in December 2020, like start of 2021. And like from there, like the DeFi ecosystem, the use of the DeFi ecosystem in Argentina exploded. We have very savvy people regarding DeFi here, and it's not a coincidence that like I don't know people like from Open Zeppelin, like founders are Argentinian, right? And a lot of like big protocols are Argentinian as well, the people.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. The other, I guess, follow up that maybe you have the answers, maybe you don't, but within the circles that you hang out with and the people that you know, post bear market and post like Terra collapse, did you see a lot of people kind of leave crypto and go back to the state sanctioned way of spending, or did they kind of stick around? We're like, hey, you know what? You win some, you lose some. This was experimental. Let's move on. Let's try to find other opportunities here because this is really my only option. Or did they feel like, hey, you know what? I lost a bunch of money in the Terra collapse. I'm just going to go back to the thing that I had before. What was the kind of mindset there?
Well, I did a lot of red pilling for my people back in the day. But they all got burned with the last bear market. most of them like lost a ton of money and don't want to like, or are not interested in crypto. That may change until we start seeing like these huge spikes, or like until Bitcoin breaks the last ATH, or like, you know, like they are just gonna be interested again once that happens. At least that's how I feel, right? But within the last cycle, a lot of people got burned. And personally, I think we need a strong narrative if we want to onboard the next 100 million users, you know. I'm not sure what's that narrative yet, but for sure we need one. Maybe it's this like ETFs approval, right? That's like probably the one of the triggers of it. But yeah, a lot of people got burned last cycle.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And that's kind of how I was thinking that it might be, which kind of brings up the point that, like, you know, from a builder's perspective, maybe we need to be looking at the security and due diligence, doing due diligence on the people that we integrate with. Maybe that's something that we need to start doing better. I don't know what the answer is. You're right. The narrative that shows up that brings people in is important, but the things that we do right now and moving forward in order to keep those people that show up when they FOMO in is equally as important, if not more important, just so that we don't, you know, unintentionally burn anybody just because, you know, there's a mania cycle. We're approaching close to an hour. Adair, I kind of want to kick it to you a little bit real quick. And I want to kick it to Dan as well right after. But Adair, like, in terms of, we talked a little bit about what's coming down Abstract's future in the near term, what kind of apps are possible to be built from a DeFi perspective, how we've helped out 42 and what we've enabled for them in a much simpler manner. In terms of maybe kind of looking at a little bit further down in the future and kind of what we see being built for these people, not just the people that want to use crypto, but also the people that need it and the people in countries that are trying to build things for their countrymen, similar to what Alicia was saying with the Open Zeppelin founders and things like that. What are we trying to do on the Abstract side that would ideally allow them to onboard a little bit better, allow newbie devs to kind of get in and abstract away some of the complexities of building on Cosmwasm? Why is it important? What are we doing for it?
All right, there were like five questions there.
I know. I'm always doing this to you, man. I'm sorry.
So one of them was talking about onboarding. So we're going to try to push the wallet and the crypto-ish of this entire space as far away from the user as possible. So as Sal mentioned earlier, you're going to be able to share a referral link to an app with your friend. And what it'll allow you to do is actually initialize their account. Of course, if they already had an Abstract account, which is a smart contract account, if they already had one, it'll just add it to their account. But if they don't, it's an immediate onboarding. They can sign transactions directly in their browser without knowing that they're signing transactions. And this allows for, say you're at a restaurant and you have to, you know, get their little app or whatever, or you have to like place your order. You could just, you know, download their custom little app, except just install it on your own infrastructure. If you don't have an account, they immediately onboard you, and then you can make a transaction right away. And that transaction that you make, like, let's say that Sal mentioned like underserved countries or countries where crypto is actually needed. Most people in these countries already have crypto wallets, and the issue is connecting those wallets to the providers in real life. But if these providers were able to offer something that allowed access to the user's liquidity without allowing direct access, then it would enable transacting in a whole new way. And so in like the far future, maybe not the far future, but in the future, we'd like to see a lot more of these applications being built with instant onboarding. And one of those media examples could be a restaurant or a co-working space, something that just, you know, you make a small loan to a smart contract in a localized context, all on your own infrastructure. And I'm not sure what your next two questions were.
Don't worry about it. I think you kind of covered the majority of it. I'm sorry. I always give you like 30 different questions and it's like a grab bag of things that you can answer.
And the issue with those 30 different questions, Sal, is that my brain tries to answer all of the questions at once and then everything that comes out is a jumbled mess.
I know, but it's super entertaining and it's incredibly informative. So I can't thank you enough. But for Dan, I do want to ask you a question. In terms of 42's launch, it's coming out soon. We've already got a tweet pinned, I believe. First thing that I want to ask is what kind of you're looking for DeFi power users and crypto natives. What can they do in terms of being able to spread the word? What would you like to see from them? You want people to be able to test this thing out. What kind of feedback are you looking for? I'm giving you a whole bunch of a grab bag of questions as well. Feel free to answer what you want. And the last question that I feel like I'm obligated to ask is when token?
Funny. Okay, so yeah, I guess we're gearing up for launch very soon. We got a bunch of Twitter spaces and things going out, which hopefully we'll get some good users testing it out. I think something that's pretty underrated in crypto, and it's also kind of I'd say validated to some degree, is that early users can be quite harsh on products. I do understand it's validated because at the end of the day, we're dealing with people's money. So, but assuming that money is safe, which it is, we want open conversations with users. I'm always happy to jump on a call with a user, understand their frustrations or their praises, whatever it is. We kind of just want to we want to be friends with our users, and just like you would, as they say, you provide feedback or what do they say, you speak well to your behind your friends' backs and badly to their faces. That's sort of the feedback I would want from users. We are obviously a startup team. We've raised a little bit of money, but not a lot. We in order to really execute on our long-term vision, we are going to need significant capital inflows. We're trying to bootstrap it as much as possible, obviously. But in order to get like a really good product, we have to pay good devs. So yeah, this is an early version of our product. But we just love users putting in whatever they can. Maybe it's $10 or $100 or whatever it is. Or if they want to, they can put in a couple million. But we're looking for good feedback. And in terms of when token, I think as mentioned earlier, we are right now just focused on giving users the best user experience. And we're not really focused at the moment on when a token may or may not be coming out. But we'll sort of cross that bridge when we feel like we're ready to start thinking about it in depth.
Excellent. Sounds good. Okay, so any feedback on front end, anything that we can talk about with anything else that kind of might irk us, which is great, great to hear. I want to kind of open it up to any of the listeners that we have here. If you guys have any questions for the 42 team, for Abstract, anything in general, feel free to request, come up, ask any questions, more than welcome to. In the meantime, though, I got to ask. Anyone who celebrates Thanksgiving, what are your plans? What's for dinner? Adair, I know you're American. What'd you eat?
Very American, except I am in Belgium right now, and the Belgians do not smoke. No, they smoke a lot, but they don't celebrate Turkey Day. So in my head was smoked turkey, because like smoked turkey last year was just phenomenal. So yeah, Belgians definitely smoke and drink a lot.
Yeah, sorry. I'm at an airport and I have to go board my flight now, so I'm gonna have to jump. But
cheers.
Alessio can take any questions.
Sounds good, brother. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Dan. Yeah, Thanksgiving is not a thing in Argentina, so yeah, not doing anything besides like I don't know, hanging out with some friends, I guess.
I absolutely envy everyone who's not doing anything for Thanksgiving. My wife and my mom are in the kitchen together, and I'm scared for what's happening in there right now. But okay, we've come up on an hour. I think we should start wrapping up. Really appreciate the good talk, guys. It's been excellent. Actually, it's a little bit more than an hour now. We are going to be probably doing another one of these next week again, Thursday, 2 p.m. Anyone who wants to come through, come through. Maybe we have a special guest. Maybe we don't. If we don't, it's just going to be kind of shooting the shit and talking a little bit about Cosmosm and the future of the Interchain and developing and more user stuff, and maybe giving some developer updates on the abstract side, some leaking some alpha. We'll try to get our CTO in and do some of that.
Yeah, maybe we should make it the dev spaces.
Yeah, you know what? Anyone who's got a developer friend who wants to build something cool, force them to come in, and we'll see if we can make that happen. I think that sounds awesome. Let's try to make a dev focus next week. You heard it here first. Dev focus next week, 2 p.m. Eastern, Thursday. So whatever time it was, whatever time it is right now, or an hour and a half back for you, wherever, whichever time's on your end. And we'll see you guys then. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, guys.
Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody, if you're celebrating.
Cheers. Take it easy.
Ciao.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments, red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics, they probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters, and then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom over impossible loss. It's all moss and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lace, stacked in non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage, like this shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible, when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats, tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Channel Spaces.